I believe that God is keeping here for one of the reasons. And he wants me to be a part of a great revival in this city. I believe that God is Almighty God. You know, it's as we waiting on him, and I sit there, the Lord start to put a word, his word into my heart. It's going to be contagious. If you're hungry enough, thirsty enough for his presence, his Holy Spirit, then it's like it's better than COVID. Everyone will get hit with that. It's not a virus, but it's something, it's wonderful. And it started with, you know, with your pastor already. Healing taking place. It's contagious. It will, wherever you go, it will touch people. You don't even need to lay hand on them. Your shadow, it's going to be like Peter. His shadow healed people. Nothing we can deny. Because his presence is so strong. It happened. It just happened supernaturally. What happened if you walk through the hospital and people got healed right on the spot? It's done. It has been done. Because God can use each one of you. You don't no need to be look like holy and holy. God can use the normal person, a normal person, for his supernatural work. He prepare. He prepare his bride for his coming. For all young people here. You know, you don't want your bride, look, you know, the hair sticking everywhere. It's all messy, you know, wearing, you know, no gowns, you know. You want your bride, looks so beautiful. And every bride, you know, they go to the nail shop, fix their hair. It's all, you know, Vietnamese nail kingdoms. Are they exist there?
Yes.
Okay. I pray that tonight, in the next couple of days, it's going to be a miracle night. It's miracle night. Because you understand what my perfect accent is. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is not, you know, not, you don't listen to what you hear up here on your head. Elizabeth, you want to come up and say something? Because wherever, you know, Pastor Elizabeth is the one who, you know, we've been married for 42 years. And
praise God. We want to let you know that we went to an arranged marriage to our parents. So Pastor was working in Hong Kong and China in 1979.
Yes, I was. My background, just to let you know. My family and I, we were escaped Vietnam. One day after the war over, I saw the last helicopter left Vietnam. And wherever I go in U.S., I want to say thank you to the American people. who have sent their troop to my homeland. I used to live next to the place, that military base, that where the helicopter land and take off. They take off with nobody back on the side. But when they come back with four back, two back, with the American boy and girl on it, in it. I saw that every day. I grew up with it. As a kid like this age, we used to go to the roof of the house and cheer live TV. The guns shoot out to the enemy light. The bombing, the rocket, the body explodes. I grew up like that. And you know what? By heart, you think all the Vietnamese hate that? No, we not. South Vietnam, we love the soldier. The only country that I believe that in Asia, South Vietnam, what we call when the Americans were there, it's the golden age. Without that big boy, we die more. We have more people die. You never heard this before. But wherever I go, I say thank you. Why? One boy came to Vietnam by our government order. His name is Stevens. He wrote a letter to his family here somewhere in the U.S. Said that he wished Vietnam have a prayer house. A prayer house. 18 years old boy. His letter arrived his family here in the U.S. together with an American flag. He was killed in accident. Stevens. His family read the letter, bought a church building, remake, ship it all the way to Vietnam. You don't hear this. You don't hear this. And my father received that gift. It's the first Pentecostal church in the whole nation. Wow. A wish from a dead boy become life. And from that moment, 9th July 1972, I was in that church. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The month, 5 months after that, we baptized more than 3,000 people on the seas, on the beach. From a wish of a dead GI. I believe that we all alive here. And God is telling me that, hey, wish something big for these communities. Dream something big. Our new name now is people call us the Stadium Seeker. Because we dream that, you know, every stadium is going to be used to God before His coming. I've been in Azusa Church, that where the Pentecostals started in the U.S. From Vietnam, I escaped Vietnam And then we went to Los Angeles. I feel like home because Vietnam is a war-torn country. So Los Angeles. Thank you, Tim and Anita. It's so peaceful here. I just kind of like, oh boy, where am I? I'm in March or somewhere. You guys in a place that, you know, it's unbelievable, blessed by God. I grew up in the west side of Los Angeles. It's called Long Beach. But, you know, it's the neighborhood. It's every day I feel like home. Because the SWAT team, you know, the police, is always in our backyard. And it aiming at the apartment next door and tell us, get everybody, get inside. We all come out. My whole family come out and cheer. Yay! They all look at us and they said, get in. We said, yeah, we in. We don't know what we're talking about, but, you know. And we had God allow us to, he called us to be here. Thank you, Pastor Scott and Teresa, right, Teresa? Your joy and your Holy Spirit in you, it's just the beginning of something great. Something greater than you can expect. I was trained and grew up. My spiritual life is Pastor Cho Young-gi from Korea. Actually, we all look alike, so I have more hair than he does. He used to come to my house because my father is the first Pentecostal preacher during the 70s. So he used to come to my house and with his mother-in-law. We used to call her auntie. And so, you know, I see the revival in Korea. I see the revival in China. I've been there. I've been in the service with 1 million people. You know, I've been there. And I know it can be done in this nation. I know there have been fulfilled. How in the world can be started right here? That's what Jesus said, that, you know, people talking about Jesus when who is that guy? Nazarene. It's a city, you know, it's not a city, it's a village. It's a village. No one knows about Nazarene at all. See, I believe that God, it moved among you guys in this place. Sight and wonder will follow you guys. You don't need to look for it, but supernaturally, it come out. The living water automatically from one person first, from one couple first, and it will spread your joys. You will see, you know, some people might leave this church because your joys is overflowed and people think that you are a little bit off somewhere. It's off somewhere. You know what? I don't mind to be off somewhere. I will walk on the street of New York, 1978, the end of 1978. One of my paintings was sold there, enough to buy a house in California. I walk in that a young man so proudly. My glory is on the top now. And all of a sudden, I hear God's voice. I knew it's him instantly. He said that the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. Will you follow me? You know, when I heard that, I said, yes, Lord, forgive me. Everything I do, I'm not worthy to hear your voice. I was in the University of Fine Art when I was 8 years old. I was an abnormal kid. They put me in that school because I'm good in my hand. I worked with the university students at 8 years old. I grew up always wanting to become the best. Always. No one can beat me. I want to be Michelangelo. I want to be Degas. I want to be Van Gogh. No, not Van Gogh, but I don't want to cut my ear, you know. I always want to be the best. But everything in my life, it for my glory. And when God called me, he said that from now on, you follow me. I become a Bible smuggler in China. You know? More than 3 million Vietnamese tried to escape Vietnam during the war. When the war over, no one want to come back. It's too dangerous. What it mean by escape? It means we have less than 1% to be survived. But we took that chance. Same thing about like 4 years later. Elizabeth, you want to say something about your escape?
So in 1979, that's 4 years after the communists took over the whole country, it's very difficult and persecution to my family. So my mom said, you know, we have to leave Vietnam for all our future. We have five brothers and sisters. My father would die when I was young during the war. He was killed, yeah. And so we hired a fishing boat, a really small one.
From that long to this long, it have
185 people. We just sit next to each other and top and bottom and just scared and just, you know, excited to go out, to leave Vietnam, but we don't know how dangerous it is. And so it was so heavy and it couldn't move out. So by that time, the government, they arranged for the Chinese Vietnamese or Vietnamese to leave Vietnam so they can get money and the gold. And so we just buy a fake, yeah.
The Chinese, the government of Vietnam, did not allow them to live in Vietnam, so they kick all the Chinese out of the country back to China. And so, you know, we all look alike, so who care? And so we act like Chinese, you know, her family act like Chinese. And, you know, just buy fake paper, you know, just get some fake paper. And so they all escape. By that time, I was at the border of China and Vietnam. I was, a smuggler.
And so, so when we get out there, suddenly, in the afternoon, the storm and the waves began to just rise up. Everywhere turned darkness, black. And we just cry out and just really scared. And we just throw everything to the sea, you know, to hope for that we can lighten the boat.
During that time, pirate is the most, you know, it get like horrible when The UN, it estimated 75% of boat people who escaped Vietnam perished by pirate or by the high seas. Because all the boats, it's not worth it to travel. Everything, what they do is when they came and they took all the female to their boat. Kid, adult, all the female. They left all the male up there. And then after they get all the female to their boat, they will ram and kill all the man on the boat. My uncle, some of my family survived through those happens. And the only five survived on the high seas. That answered all the prayer when we knew that they're escaping. So it experienced that all the female, when they know that pirate, it totally different from Disney. It's the real life. And so when you can.
So when we heard pirates boat, two of them, they signaled they want to get close to our boat. But we thank God for the storm. God had you the storm and the way, push them away.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So many times they gave up and we saved from the storm. God had you the storm to save us from the pirates. And so our boat get lost and then we end up in Malaysia.
It have no engine, but it drift all the way to Malaysia.
But since that time when I was in the bottom of the boat, I prayed to God, just ready to go with him because it's scary. You met the storm or the pirates, you would die anyway. So I pray, Lord, save my life, oh God. And he did. He did save me. And when I get to America, I always remember I want to serve him when I have a chance. So that when I met Pastor, he come back from overseas, and our family arranged for us to get married. But it's actually the Lord had arranged for us. And we went out back to Vietnam, back to Asia, when we had two kids. Our daughter was two, and our son was 7 months old. And we on and on in China, Hong Kong, Thailand, and Vietnam, and do all the mission work. But so I'm here as a miracle of God's goodness. And how many times he had saved us. And like pastor and preacher so many times, but he always come back with great miracles and how the Lord deliver him and use him. And we want to thank God that you come to the right place tonight. I want to thank you for your love to the Lord, your faithfulness. I know you have the week of awakening, seeking God, the Holy Spirit. You come to the right place because recently we had a lot of breakthrough in our ministry. We had been praying for a stadium for 45 years since the very beginning of our ministry. And recently, a couple months ago, the Lord had opened the door for us. The very first time we got to invite into the government office and face to face with the government, and they invited us to come back to Vietnam and help to rebuild the first stadium in Vietnam. So that's why Pastor say, you know, we have a new name now, Stadium Seeker. Yes, I want to give that to you. I want to give that to you. We need to get ready for the Lord to return, right? And we want everyone to get saved. Everyone. And we need to have vision, dream, to have stadium. Because that's when we have a lot of people who get saved. And now we already have our breakthrough. Our breakthrough is going to be your breakthrough. If you want it, the Lord will give it to you. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that, you know, it's, you know, if I can stand in here and tell you a story of more than 50 years as a missionary, then I can stand here to tell you all the miracle. It will last months. Of all the great things that God has been done in and allow us to witness it. we know that wherever we go, Jesus and His Holy Spirit is always there. I've been there. And I know that God's going to use both of you. Your saddle is going to heal. The team ministry, the ministry team. That's what is going to be happen. Because under the direction of your leader, it will cover, you cover with his umbrella. Like Elijah. King David, who follow him. You know, the team ministry is something greater than, you know, you have to be united right here when it's nobody around. You have to be one. You have to prepare for a million. You have to prepare that God, his love for a million of Americans going to be here. You know, how can it be? It can be done. I dream in the next 10 years, we will gain 12 million. I'm never happy, you know, since that church started in you know, the Pentecostal started, roughly, you know, after 55 years, we have about 2 million. From that GI. He make it alive. From that moment, he said that, I wish Vietnam have a prayer house. You know, I have chance to went to Washington, D.C. Went to what they called it, Vietnam Memorial War. I thought it, man, I like to say to go there and just lay hand on the wall and say that, Stephen, thank you so much. I did not know that. It's like thousands of Stephen. I stand there and I look at, oh boy, Stephen, you know where you are, right? On the list here, right? So I lay hand on it and say, okay, anyway, thank you. You know, from that moment, I knew how hurt, how painful this nation is. That's why I say, thank you to the one who served. Thank you for the one who went to Iraq. Thank you for the one who went to World War II, World War I. Thank you for the one who went to Korea, fight Japanese. Thank you for all the service that you have done. Because without the big guys, there's a million will die. You know, our government may run the wrong way. You know, you're never going to be happy with our government. You know, no matter who's there. No matter who's there. God's grace is always sufficiency because one of us here still prays. How many times that we can say that? Hey, I'm proud to be an American. How much love I am is here. And then now, what you need to do? You know, it's funny because I prepare for what I'm supposed to share tonight. You know, I thought that, you know, I'm going to do something, you know, I'm going to preach the word of God. But I know that, you know, I have to lean on the Holy Spirit. Because I know each one of you is going to be a miracle walker. You're going to walk among the people. You're going to walk. I know, sometimes, you know, kid embarrassed, you know. You don't have to be embarrassed, you know. You're going to walk into your school. Even you are the most you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, we are a little bit rascal, you know. Sometimes you're smarter than all the kids. That's why you troublemaker. Not troublemaker, but, you know, we kind of like, you know, out, you know, different. But God, it walk with you. All the sons, your mind is going to be have wisdom from heaven. And I saw another kid back there. Yeah, all the son, wisdom it come. Wisdom it come. The anointing it come. You about 8 years old? 11. You look younger than that. You hate that, right? Not really. But God, what's your name? James, okay. God it already chosen you. Maybe you think that, man, I have to go to church tonight. They make me. I don't know who, but God already put you here for a purpose. All right. You will walk with wonder because you were chosen. All right. James. And what's your name back there? Robert. Oh, I love that name. God is using you in a way that you never known before. You might not understand what I'm talking about, but the Holy Spirit make you understand right now. See, the whole purpose of tongues. Acts chapter 2. When the disciples start to receive, suddenly they receive the Holy Spirit. They start to speak it in tongues. And all the nation, they start to understand it. They're not necessary to speak their own the nation language. See, I was there. I was in the time that I was speaking. See, I came to China without speaking Chinese. I don't even know the language. And God allowed me, you know, he said that, you know, when I got to China, because we all look alike, so they start to talk with me in Chinese. And what should I do? I just say, no. I start to speak in by faith. And I answer them. And they understand it. You know, and then after 3 days, I know how to order. I just go in the restaurant and just come out of kissing, and they understand me. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I came to U.S. without speaking English, without talking in English, and everything, they put me in 11th grade in high school. I sit there and look, you know, so exciting in the freedom land. And whenever the teacher asked me, I smile, I laugh. He thought that I understand everything. I don't. So when you're talking to some Vietnamese out there or Asian, they smile, they nod their head. It doesn't mean that they know what you're talking about. You know, just so you know, so feel free. See, that's how God works. You know, I become, you know, we went through the border many times with Bible and our luggage. My faith, it grows so fast. Oh, man, one Bible caught 3 years in prison. We have luggage and luggage of Bible. Taken through. And one day, the underground movement in China, they got a shipment of 3 containers of Bible, and it all in my language. Make a mistake, send to China. Yeah. So they asked me, hey, you want to take this to Vietnam? And I look at it. I said, let's do it. I've been there. You've been through miracle. Fear it not there. Faith is there. And when your faith is little like a mustard seed, it can move mountains. It's only 3 containers. It's not a mountain. We ride to the border. And my faith is starting to grow strong. Lord, make them blind. Let's see that we can go through. As we passed, nothing happened. I will jump up and rejoice. And all of a sudden, the driver who we hired said that, hey, we need some more money. You know, I will come from a very traditional church pastor. More than 50 years with the Assembly of God. My father was a founder. He never held an office. He's just a founder. We appointed, one to become a general superintendent. For 50 years, I always think and believe that preachers supposed to have enough food to eat, everything is fine, no need extra money. I grew up in very, traditional way of thinking of missionary, that we just have enough, then we go. But in the last 3 years, maybe more than that, after so many years in the Assembly of God, it become the Assembly of, oh my God. And so we got free. We got free from that. And, on that, the driver asked me that, hey, we need more money. I always travel by faith. I grew up with miracle. My family, my mom, one day, came back home and put a kid on the table and said that this is your sister. I found her in the back of the hospital, a brand new baby. And she told us to walk around the table and say, welcome home, sister. War-torn country. She found a kid in the back of the hospital in the trash can. And I have a big mouth. I said, Mom, she's black. And wham, she slapped my face. I learned my lessons. And from that day, my house opened. Every week, my mom bring back home black kid, white kid, blue kid, purple kid. She bring them all home. We end up, we just have a regular house, okay? We end up with 285 American kid. You know what American is? It's half Vietnamese and half white or black, half Americans. That's why we call them Americans. But the nickname of those kids, we call the communities, the country, the people, they call them dust of life. It means they are nobody. That means they are waste. You talking about racist in America? In Vietnam or Asian country, we are more racist than you guys. Even now, if you have a darker skin, that means that you are no good. So you are very good because you have a lighter skin. You know, that's why I take advantage of all the friends that I have when they smuggle Bible with me. I always tell them, use your white power. You can go through and don't talk Vietnamese. Just speaking English with them, you know, that you can go through it, no problem. But anyway, because of that label, we have to escape Vietnam. We have to escape Vietnam. So we send, if you Google it, it's called baby lift operations of our government. That when they pick up all the orphanages out of Vietnam. And my father put 285 kids time to time, different time, not at the same time. And in that group, my father mixed five of my younger brother and sister in it. The youngest one is 2 years old. There's one boy missing, so they put a new identity in him, and we sent him off. All of that 285, including five of my younger brother and sister, my father had to sign a contract, said that we never allowed to contact them, never allowed to follow up or looking for them. It's hard for my mom, 2 years old kid. She put on the airplane to go to America by himself with the orphanage, with the orphans. He lost his identities. 3 months before that, my sister, 8 years old, left Vietnam, ended up in Denver, Colorado. She heard someone crying. She went out the barrack. And she said that, "Boo, is that you?" The 2 years old boy been crying. And he jumped from her, the nurse hand, to the 8 years old girl. And they changed his identities back to his identity. He is a doctor now. You know, see, God grace, it always sufficiency. Whatever you do today, you never outgiving God. Your labor, your finance, your sacrifice, everything that you have. You never outgiving God. We escaped Vietnam. It's a miracle. I can go, you know, it's just a whole night for that. But I want to, you know, it's just unbelievable how God put us together. Maybe this is just the introduction night. We have no way to escape Vietnam. I saw the last missionary out of Vietnam. You know, he gave his everything to my family, including his dog. It's a big mistake. You know, I love American food. I love, you know, I'm not so sure that you have Costco here, you know, but the way that, you know, I love Costco because they have hot dog and soda, you know, the cheap one. You know, hot dog in Vietnam is different. The way we walk the dog is different. We don't walk the dog in the park. We walk the dog in the walk, you know. Well, if you don't get it, that's fine, you know. If it's over your head, you know. If the hot dog is fresh and it's jumpy, you know. And then the missionary give the dog to us, and I look at him, I smile. And I said, "He good, he good." I saw the missionary up in El Paso, and he asked me, "How my dog, you know, after you left, we left to you guys." And I couldn't tell him the truth, you know. I said that, you know, he rests in peace. But anyway, you know, we saw the war at fall up. And My father, because he's the Pentecostal leader, we escaped Vietnam with over 100 people keep following us. You know what, Pastor? This is what I saw in my dad. Wherever he do, people follow. So both of you in a new ministry now. Miracle walker. Supernatural visionary. People will follow both of you. Your ministry team will follow you. And they all will be exactly like. The biggest problem of every Pentecostal revival. The biggest problem is the leader have no follower. Or the next follower is, they think they can beat you up, or you know, jealousy. See, I have to prepare you guys for it. For the big revival. The prodigal sons went away with everything and lost everything and come home. You know that story. The father said that, you know, he was lost, now he was found. But his servant repeating the story, hey, that's your brother. And we have to make a meal for him. He did not repeat what the father said. He put more oil into the fire. You see, if the servant know the older brother is upset, then the servant said that, hey, calm down, man. Calm down. Your brother was lost. Now he was found. See, your ministry team supposed to do that. It's not like, hey, and make the fire more burning. See, I'm talking to your ministry team now. We need a team that only want following the leader. Following the leader. I'm talking about, you know, who willing to go up the hill with Moses, Aaron, and Ur. You know, not the one with the knife, you know, stalk Moses anytime. You see, we have to prepare for the big revival, people. It's not only this much, but God is going to make us bigger than we can handle it. So my father, you know, he prayed. He said, Lord, you have called us here. There's many times they came to our house and tried to execute him. But he was gone because he was taking the kid to put them in the baby lift operation. He not home. They come with gun. Said, where? His name is, you know, Fat. You know, my last name is spelled C-A-O and pronunciation like cow, okay? And so you can call me Holy Cow, okay? And my father, you think that my name is funny? My father named it Fat Tin Cow. So they call him Fat Cow. It's not next level yet. My older brother also a minister. And his name, we call him Dung Cow. He changed his name instantly when he got to U.S. Now his name is Richard. But anyway, see, my father tried to escape and he said that, you know, I won't move without God's voice. See, the storm, it happened in every time of our life. You know why? Just to show our character. The storm coming up. Jesus is on the boat, sleeping in the back, get wet. It's not a big boat, get wet. All of his disciples, the true person coming out. The true person coming out when the gun is pointed at my head and said that, you know, deny Jesus, I will pull the triggers. I remember that time. See, I tell you the story and the different, I jump around. My father, he said that only God can tell me. Bombing. I remember that attack in the city, the bomb, it explodes everywhere. The airplane was shot off, it got shot off from the sky and it will break out, you know, just like people just run every direction, try to hide from it. Here I am, a young man. I was 17 years old. Saw an airplane, got shot. The pilot, American pilot, were parachuted out of it. I ran toward him. I still remember that day. I want the radio on the hat because they throw everything away. You know, what can you do? But I like the radio on the hat. That's it. I did not get it, though. But, you know, it's 100 people follow my dad everywhere. Helicopter land, try to land to get my family out. Because my father was helping the Americans, so they returned the favor. But every time when they start to land it, thousands of people pull out, try to get on one helicopter. No way we can escape. See, people will follow you, Pastor. You have no choice to love them to death. You cannot get rid of them. Even, my dad, you know, when I look at him, I say that, man, how in the world that you can handle that? You can be silent to sneak it out during the wartime. You can be, you know, you can be yourself with your family. But my dad said that, you know, wherever I go, God had to tell me where to go. One day, he said that time to go. We all hop in on the truck. It left behind by the missionary. It's just regular 1972 truck. On that truck, we have over 40 people on it. 40 on the truck. It's smaller than your truck. It's 40 people on it. And we escaped. The highway will explode. The bridge behind will explode. We just, wherever we go, the guns, everything, we call the dead highway. I was there. My older brother was the driver. We went through the dead highway, and nothing had happened. You know what? God, when he chose you, you can live through the storm. You can live through the life storm. Jesus slept, so we are. He allowed the storm, the perfect storm. You don't know why it happened, but he can set you free today. This is the day that, you know, you can say that, hey, I'm going up to the hill with Moses. Team ministry team, whatever you call it. You need to follow. You need to be one heart with Pastor Scott and Teresa. You need to be one for the new revival is coming. And this is not for the team ministry, the ministry team. It's for everyone tonight. Everyone tonight had to say that, hey, I'm going in with you. I'm going up the hill with you guys. I'm going to up the hill. And when pastors, you know, tire on the hand, you don't just say that, hey, man, I do better job. Your job is supposed to be lifting it up. It's not to pull it down. See, you're going to see something that, hey, both of them is not perfect. It's not perfect at all. But, you know, at the time for you to push it up and then it not try to pull it down. See, I'm here it's to remind you that if you want the right revival, then you have to learn the first step to submit to your authorities. I've been through the right revival in Vietnam. Why it breaking apart? Because everybody is the chief, is not the Indian. See, we have to prepare our heart and say that, Lord, whatever you want me to do, then I do it. You're going to be a right evangelist. You can talk in classroom more than normal kid. You know what? You know, that's what happened. We need to submit, you know, the first thing, that who will go to the hill. I can raise my hand tonight and say that, you know, I'm going with you, Pastor Scott. I'm going with you, Pastor. I'm going with you. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. Because we need a team for a million members. My dream is small. Next 10 years, only 12 million. My dream is small. And now it opened up. The stadium, it opened up. The first time we met with our handcuff, eyes to eyes. You know, it's funny because many times when we went into, got caught and put in prison, torture. You know, it's not fun. But the joys of the Lord over taking place. There's a time they hang me up with no clothes, wet me, electric cube. All my face, it got all my teeth knocked off. These are all fake teeth. You know, when I was preaching with, I used to preaching to the children camps, 8 to 12 years old. And I was laughing so hard that day, and my fake teeth flow out. And all the kids laughing so hard. You know? They laugh. They have fun. And I tell them the story how my teeth get lost. How my teeth get lost. I will knock up. I will. They use the back of the gun. Wham! Hit my face because I keep laughing. I don't feel pain. I laugh so hard. You know, it's different when you have the joys of the Lord. It's not slipping, you know, in the back of the boat. Yes, there's a time that, you know, during the you know, investigations, they have the light on my head for days. The first days is okay, you know, the light is right there. I thought that only Hollywood can do it, you know. Second day, with the light on, my mind starts to get hazy. The third day, my mind is gone almost loose. But every time that, you know, every day, every moment of my life, I start to say that, Lord, your grace is always sufficiency. Thank you for allow me to be here and serve you. I will punch, I will torture, but it's for your glory. Happy to love this guy. They don't know what they're doing. I remember one time that the guy come back at night time and said that, you know, I look in your eyes, something is different. I knock your face up. It messed your face up. And how come you still love me. He can sense it. He know it. You see, that's what I want to put in you, the ministry team. The love of the lost. The love of the lost. When you love the lost that much, they can tell. In the spiritually, they got a breakthrough. And if you're willing to go up the hill with the Moses, good pastor, and say that, pastor, whenever you tire, I lift you up. I lift you up. I lift you up. Not like the servant who tell the older brother. See, just think a little bit. If that servant with a heart like a father, telling the older brother who were jealousy, who were angry, who were mad, upset, telling him the right way. Then you know what happened. It's a big family reunion. It's a big family reunion. So I'm preparing you guys for a great revival. I'm preparing you guys for a great miracle. Supernaturally can be done. It can be done because he said that, you know, you already been healed by his stripe. You already been healed. Don't let the religious matter slow you down with the relationship with God. I used to be a very technical preacher. I sound so loud that people said that, man, you angry when you was preaching. But now, you know, I believe. I don't need to shout. I know that my love for God, and I know that that love for God, you can be a right team if you are one. Then God will fill this building up in no time, in 1 week, less than a week, just 1 day. This has just happened, you know, it will be happen if you continue to be, say that, Lord, I believe. Lord, I want to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, I want to be a servant of you. Call me. See, in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, it's talking about Aaron and Hur were going up with Moses. No one tell them to go. Moses only tell Joshua to go fight. But he did not ask his ministry team to go with him. See, they all volunteered to walk with him up there. Maybe silently he looked at them, and then they know what he meant. Moses don't have to tell them what to do. They know exactly what to do. Carry a big piece of rock. It's heavy. Moses didn't say, hey, get me something comfortable. He just standing up there, raising his hand. He tired. His ministry team, bring the rock. Let him sit on it. You know what? This ministry team needed. Needed so much that, you know, I have to repeat this. My father went, and wherever he go, he have 100 people fall. And war, when you escape, you don't do that. You don't take the whole 100 people, hey, let's go this way, try to escape. You have to be silent to escape. But here we are. My father traveled with the whole group through the war. And so that's what I see in this church. That's what I see in you, Pastor Scott. I don't want to boss you up or anything. I don't want to lift both of you up or something. but you have been chosen to lead. To lead. You know, you have been talking about five. You know, it's a quick visiting. Pastor Scott has been telling me, you know, he's a good educated guy. He knows what he's talking about. You know, and I kind of like, whoa, you know, I met a genius here. You know what? But one thing I know that God bring me here just to confirm with him that every pillar of the gift of ministry, you have to get it. You have to have all five of them. You know, you cannot say that, hey, I'm a good teacher. Oh, what is your gift? It has been all given to all the leaders that God has been chosen. I'm a normal person. You know, I'm not a, you know, sometimes people call me abnormal because I do something, it's different. I never see a Vietnamese guy who went back to become a Bible smuggler. We all escape. Million people go that way, and here I am, go backward. My father, you know, my family, not my father, my family, all relative I have, all the friend I have, they think that I have, you know, something wrong with my head. But I know in my heart that God called me. You know, when you hear his voice, then it done. So I would like to ask God and ask you for a favor today. You just need a touch from heaven. It's just a touch from heaven. It's just one touch. It will change your life. Just one touch. Just one touch. Would you pray with me? I will finish all the story tomorrow. How great God is. But tonight, it's just introduction. Just one touch from heaven. Ministry teams, one touch from heaven. Pastor Scott and Teresa, you just need a touch, man. Just one touch, and it will last forever. It will last forever. It will last forever. Just one touch. Just one touch. And wherever you go, your sorrow, the atmosphere will change. No need. No need to use your head anymore. You your tummy, you your belly, you your heart, no matter you where you are, God. Supernaturally, God will heal people. God will heal people. This week, today, as you walk in, I saw so many times that I walked through the mall, people got healed. And they don't even know Jesus. I saw that. And what he had been given to me, I give it back to you. I give it. I make a key, duplicate key. I give it to both of you. I give the key to both of you so you can lead. The hunger never can be filled up. But you will be hungry, hungry, hunger, hunger for the right thing. This is just the beginning. This is just for something that he just created. You have not seen anything greater than this. This is just the beginning to prepare you, both of you, for the ministry team. It's going to be look like both of you. So this is for both of you. It's going to be supernaturally released. And by the authority of the office of Jesus Christ, I give it to the keys to you. If you don't mind, can you raise your hand toward both of them? Is it not in behalf of his office and by the authorities of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The new anointing going to be both on you. It's going to be spread out like a living water. I authorize to give you. And officially recognize that all the gift, all the calling, it on both of you. From now on, you both will walk out with the authority that have been given. In Jesus' name, I pray. The name of our Heavenly Father, the name of the King of Kings, Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, I put the anointing on both of you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen. From now on, it's going to be a new walk. From now on, the Holy Spirit will guide you guys and lead you guys. I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving tonight in the different ways. He will prepare you. Last 5 nights or 4 nights already, He will prepare you, every one of you. And maybe this is the first time you guys see me. This is the first time I met each one of you. And I believe that, you know, together, Pastor Elizabeth.
When I prayed for your church before we came, the Lord gave me the word, hope. Hope. Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So there is hope for you, your family, your church, your neighbor, your nation. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Hope for your church.
Hallelujah. 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 Tomorrow, it's going to be the night. Tomorrow, you will see all the glory of God from glory to glory. Everything that you see today, it's just a storm. And you know what? The storm getting tired. It was waiting for Jesus to stand up and say, be quiet. And it's so happy. Oh, we stop. The storm is waiting. Your problem, everything. It has been waiting for you to say, be quiet. Every problem that you are facing right now, they waiting for you to just, you know, to tell them to shut up. And then, you know, they be happy. So may the Lord bless you. Pastor, it's your time. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you.
Well, that's just it. This is going to be a little bit different here tonight because the Holy Spirit already has. You're going to just stay right here. Were you guys able to do what I asked you back there? Okay, just hold on to that and just keep it for when I'm asking for it. Most of us in here, including myself, have come, you know, because we want something, right? We want more of God. We want healing. We want deliverance. Every one of you in here for a reason, because, you know, we're expecting to get something from God through the leaders and stuff. Well, sometimes we have to serve, and in our serving, we get blessed. Does that make sense? Instead of you saying, gimme, 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 when you begin to give is when you begin to receive. Amen? So I'm going to ask my leadership team that has been appointed for this night. That doesn't mean the rest of you are not leaders and you all will become leaders, because I believe in the word that you just said. But I want the leadership team that we had appointed to minister to those, the ministry team, to come up right now, if you will. And I want your wife to come up and join you here at the pulpit. And I want you guys to surround this couple. Almighty God, Abba Father, you are almighty, and we reverence you with a holy fear, and I know that this couple reverences you with a holy fear. At the same time, you are Abba. Daddy, their innocence, their relationship, their pure joy in just resting in you and knowing you, not just knowing about you, but knowing you, is a comfort to their soul. You've already brought them through fire. You've already tested them in many ways, and that may not be done yet either. But you always discipline your sons and daughters for good, to purify them as hyssop. Father, bring them greater levels of revelation and understanding of your word. Bring them that which those that they will encounter desperately need to know when they need to bring the word of salvation or healing or deliverance, or like what they did here tonight, encouragement. Lord, wisdom is what Solomon prayed for, and you said he prayed for the best thing that he could pray for. I pray wisdom upon this man of God. I thank you for the Proverbs 31 woman that you gave him. Lord, it was arranged. Yes, they may say it was arranged in the natural, but we know where it was arranged. It was arranged in the heavenlies before they were ever born. Thank you for bringing them together as one, to function as one. And as, Lord, their steps are taken, Father, from this place to the next and to wherever you have them before you take them home, I pray everywhere they touch, everywhere they speak, everywhere their shadow is what was preached tonight, goes, that people will be changed. And that change will be into godlikeness. Godlikeness, Lord. I can sense in the spirit that they are worshipers. That they glorify you. That they walk in obedience to your word. That they are filled with a knowledge and an understanding of your heart for the times that we are in, as the sons of Issachar knew the signs of the times This man knows the signs of the times, and he's preparing and readying your people and those that don't even know you yet to become your people for the great, glorious banquet in heaven that we all are awaiting. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them abundantly, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Just praise and worship God. We're so happy to be in his presence, full of joy. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Well, guys, I'm going to ask Dan, as he always does, as our elder in the church, to pray the Aaronic blessing over all of us here. And so if you guys want to come out into here, and Dan, why don't you come up front and bless us all as we leave here tonight. I'm looking forward, I don't know about the rest of you, to tomorrow night. And it's been just wonderful to, man, you know, we haven't seen anything yet, but we haven't done anything yet either, right? I mean, come on, this is an exhortation for all of us to go to the next level. You've challenged us to go to the next level. And so we need a blessing for that, Dan. Can you give us one?
So, when Moses was training Aaron to be the head priest, he called Aaron in and he said, Aaron, this is how I want you to bless our people. And he said, Father God, Yahweh, would you bless and keep us? Father, would you make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us? And Yahweh, would you turn your countenance toward us and give us your shalom peace? And Father, would you write your name and your word in our minds and in our hearts indelibly for eternity, because you are the one living God, and we give you praise and we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for holy fire. We thank you for showing us how to surrender our troubles to you so that you can make us well. Father, we look forward to you releasing holy fire in this place. Bring us back safely tomorrow night, all and all who see the sign or hear about it, to bring them in, Father God. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.